Rat Pack, where you at?
Hey, what's going on? It's Friday, October 25th. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. Let's get it on, baby. Let's talk quickly about Thursday Night Football. Oh, by the way, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Go check it out. It's awesome. I'm not just saying that to say it. I mean, I have to say it, but I'm also saying it because I believe it because, well, hey, I've had a big part in helping out what we've got going on over there. Very proud of it. FTNFantasy.com. Quick thoughts about last night. I mean, first and foremost, if you didn't use Puka Nacua, I don't think you did the wrong thing. Now, if we have a process and we follow the process, the results are not always going to be perfect. But the reason why we follow a process is because our results are going to be better than they would be if we didn't have a process over the long term, right? That's the idea. So with this process here, for me, I had him ranked in the 50s. Why? Because I had no idea what his usage was going to be. Hey, it could have been last night. And last night, by the way, he only played just over half of the offensive snaps. It could have been 10 snaps. It could have been every snap. We didn't know. The team didn't let us know. So in those instances, I would rather be safe than sorry. I am happy to have a guy blow up on my bench. I'd rather have him blow up on my bench than put up a dud in my starting lineup. And there was a very real possibility of Nacua that happening. So that's where I had him. That's why I had him there. And that's why I did what I did. Now, again, you follow the process. The results don't work out perfectly all the time. That's part of the process. But it is the process nonetheless. And really, to be fair, too, a lot of people are like, oh, benched Nacua. Well, if he was lowest in rankings or one of the lower guys in rankings, you didn't bench him. You just didn't start him, right? So don't beat yourself up over that if that happened. And if you played him, great. He looked awesome. He looked exactly like we had hoped he was going to look at the beginning of the season. He looks fully healthy. And all of a sudden, the Rams look pretty good. Cooper Kupp, there was something a little off with him last night, but I don't think it's anything major. And he did score a touchdown as well. It might have been a coverage thing, but not a big deal. The Rams look to be, all of a sudden, for real. And they are not in last place in the NFC West anymore. The 49ers are. So I have no idea. Obviously, we'll have to talk a little bit about Matthew Stafford next week. And on the other side, I'm not overly concerned. I mean, Jefferson had a solid game, even though he didn't score a touchdown. They should get Hockenson back this following week, almost certainly. The Rams defense bottled up Aaron Jones. That's not going to happen every single week. He had plenty of volume, so I'm not worried there. And I thought Sam Darnold was fine. When it was all said and done, you know, he was able to get some stuff done early in the game, and then the Rams really stiffened up against him, but still fine. I know some people are concerned about Jordan Addison. Like, he's a boom or bust option, and it's just when you have those wide receiver three, wide receiver fours who are like that, some weeks are going to be very good, some weeks are going to be like this, and that's sort of the ride that you're on when you have that type of player. So that's where we are with Jordan Addison. All right, let's get into this weekend's action. And again, if you're kind of new to this, I mean, well, shout out to you for picking up the podcast in week 8, but I'm not going to tell you the obvious starts, more like some of the deeper information about these games that'll help you make the best possible decisions. On the Philly side of the Philly-Cincinnati game, I think it's about as straightforward as it comes. You know, you're using Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley and AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. He's not quite Jordan Addison. Like, he's a little bit better than that, but obviously he's coming off of a down game and he is boom or bust, but he's more of a wide receiver too. The only other note that I have here is I would not expect Dallas Goedert for this one. I've had him as a drop for the last several weeks just because he's a streamer option, and I'm not carrying a hurt streamer option on my bench at tight end. Just ain't going to happen. Over to the other side, Burrow's rolling. Love this spot for Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. The only area I think that's interesting here that, you know, isn't quite so obvious is the backfield. A lot of people holding out hope on Zach Moss. I am not one of those people. I realize, like, coming into the season, this could have gone one of two ways. And as we went through draft season, the way I went in fantasy drafts honestly looked like it wasn't going to be the answer because I placed my chips on Chase Brown. I endorsed him. And it looked like Moss was just going to be the lead back to start the season. Well, that is not the case any longer. Moss is a passing down back. Chase Brown is the lead back. Could it change again? Sure. But Brown looks better than Moss in the run game. So Brown is more of the fringe RB2, back end RB2. Moss is a a deep flex, and even there, it's rough. I really would not want to be rostering both of these guys. If I have both, I would almost certainly drop Zach Moss and just roll with Chase Brown going forward. If it ends up being the wrong decision, so be it. Baltimore and Cleveland. On the Baltimore side, Lamar and Derrick Henry are just so much stinking fun. We're keeping an eye on Zay Flowers because he missed practice yesterday and on Wednesday. I don't have a Friday report as of right now. If he goes limited, you could expect him to play, although the Ravens are heavily favored here, so it's not necessarily the most pass game script, you know, pass heavy script. So I don't love this spot for Zay Flowers regardless, but it does seem like there's a good chance he doesn't play. That does not move Rashad Bateman way up the board. Rashad Bateman's still just a boom or bust flex option. Be careful with Mark Andrews. Yes, the numbers look good, but he's still running fewer routes than Isaiah Likely. On the Cleveland side, it's really ugly. Like, Jameis under center makes it so that the only usable option in the passing game for me is David Njoku, and I'm fine with him as a top 10 option. And then in the run game, I'm not confident they move the ball enough because, you know, right now, I can't see them sustaining drives with Nick Chubb just pounding on the ground. If they do that, they prove me wrong. That's freaking awesome. I don't see it happening, though. So Chubb is just a deep flex option. And really, as he showed last week, probably more touchdown dependent. I don't know if they can get the ball down the field on the Ravens for him to get looks in the goal line area of the field. So something to note there. Be careful. Tennessee, Detroit. Tennessee also has similar quarterback issues. Mason Rudolph, honestly, is maybe a little better than Will Levis, but I don't want anything to do with the wide receivers here, especially with DeAndre Hopkins out of the mix. And Calvin Ridley missed practice the first two practices of the week as well, so keep an eye on his Friday status. Even then, he's just a boom or bust flex. Tony Pollard's really the only usable option, and you know the touch volume is great. I don't know how much they're able to generate here, just because, again, can they really move the offense effectively? But he should see, even with Tajay Spears back in the mix, ample work in this game and is at least a flex, probably more of a back-end RB2 option. As far as the Detroit side, Jared Goff is really playing great football, but I'll tell you, I don't think this is the right game script to use him in one quarterback leagues. Now, I could be wrong here, but this feels like a blowout for Detroit. I mean, it's a home game for them as well. And I see more Gibbs and Montgomery than I do Jared Goff having to throw the ball around the yard. Also, remember, he doesn't have Jameson Williams here. So it's really just Amon-Ra. Like, the Sam Laporta thing, he's a streamer. And again, like, I keep banging the table on this, but whether it's quarterback, like if you drafted Patrick Mahomes, or if it's tight end here with Laporta, do yourself a favor and make a note to reconsider your draft strategy. Like, if you still think, all right, well, I just have to have a top tight end, then fine, but maybe reconsider it for next year, because I know what's going to happen. This happens to most fantasy drafters. By the time we get to August, so much time has passed since the end of the fantasy season in late December, early January, that you often forget some of these pitfalls that occur during the course of a fantasy season. Laporta is a pitfall. Like, he hasn't lost any skill. It's just the volume isn't there. They're doing different things offensively, and it's moved him back. Like, he's just a streamer. So it was a wasted pick on a onesie position with a lot of draft capital, second or third round draft capital. That's big time right there. Arizona, Miami. I'm not worried about Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, last week they didn't really throw the ball that much, and the week before he was concussed. So it is a buy low opportunity, but he also should be labeled correctly. He's a boom or bust option. Now, he's more in that Devontae Smith category compared to what I was talking about earlier, right? He's in that category, like a wide receiver two-ish. We know what the ceiling looks like, but the floor is also there. The good thing, though, I expect this to be a bit of a shootout game with Miami. They're going to be able to put points on the board now that Tua is back. He's cleared. He's ready to go. So keep that in mind with Harrison. Obviously, we're using Trey McBride. We're using, you know, James Conner as an RB2. I still think Kyler Murray's a QB1 option, like a top 10 option, because his running ability is very impressive, and then he does have upside with his arm. Tua's back, all is right with the world. We're using Tyreek. We're using Achan. We're using Waddle with confidence. I'm not using Jonnu Smith with any confidence, but Tua in his first game back, I think he's only a mid-range quarterback too. Like, super flex, I'm going to use him. In one quarterback leagues, I would not. I would hopefully have somebody else in play. If you don't have anybody else, that's fine, but he's not like a fringe top 12 guy. He's really squarely in the middle of the QB2s. Jets and Patriots. Okay, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams. I figure for those two to be more on the same page this week, because they do get a full week of practice now with him fully integrated, ideally. He played a full complement of snaps, but you could see there was something slightly off, and I think they'll get over that. And obviously, Garrett Wilson will be just fine here as well. Rodgers could be a streamer this week. This is a favorable matchup. The only thing that could get out of hand here is game script. If the Jets throttle the Patriots, and then it's more of a Brees Hall game. So that's the one thing to be aware of, but not too shabby. I'm not using Drake May even in Superflex here. It's a tricky spot. I hope he does produce top 24 numbers, and he could have Tyquan Thornton back here, it sounds like. He has Hunter Henry, who he likes to throw the football to, and they have a bunch of, you know, guys out there. But I just, you know, I'm proceeding with caution. And this is one of those where I'm going to be happy to be pleasantly surprised. I'll be very, very happy if he does outkick where I'm ranking him, because I'm ranking him at 26. Like, he's not on the inside of Superflex. But hey, I'm not using him. He's my third quarterback in a couple leagues anyway, so I wouldn't, really wouldn't want to use him ideally when every team is not on bye, which is this week. As for Ramondre Stevenson, fantasy finishes this season of RB7, RB11, RB58, RB32, RB5, RB45. He is up and down. He has a flex option. Honestly, if you don't like using him, try and trade him away. Hopefully he has a good game this week, and then try and trade him away. Because I know some people don't like that roller coaster ride, but that's like as quintessential a flex profile for a running back as I've seen, and that's where he remains. Atlanta and Tampa Bay, this one is a rematch of one of the most exciting games this season back in week 5, that Thursday night football game. But this is a very different contest, especially because Tampa will be without Chris Godwin for the rest of the season and Mike Evans through week 11. That changes the dynamic here, and I do think Atlanta can be more run-heavy, so don't expect another 500-yard game out of Kirk Cousins. Still can use Drake London, still can use Darnell Mooney as like a fringe wide receiver too. Kyle Pitts is still usable, but I just don't expect an offensive explosion, and I do expect Bijan to continue on his little hot streak here, like him as a top 10 play. Tyler Allgeier is just a handcuff. Moving over to the Tampa side, like I said, you don't have those guys, so Baker comes back to the pack. If he proves us wrong, so be it. He has been fantastic this season, but it is really tough to not have those two out there. You're going to be relying on Jalen McMillan, Trey Palmer, Sterling Shepard, and Cade Otton. Of those guys, Otton is the best play. He is a top 10 fantasy tight end. From there, I think McMillan is who I'll endorse as a sort of, not a desperation flex, but not necessarily the best flex either. We have to keep an eye on the running backs as well. Bucky Irving looks like he is going to play. He went DNP the first two practices of the week, but he did manage to get back out there today. And yeah, Todd Bowles said he's going to play barring any setbacks. So barring any setbacks can happen, but usually they don't. So that means Rashad White, slightly better option than Irving. Irving is the better early down. White is the better passing down, but they're going to mix in both areas. And really, when it's all said and done, I would say White just a tick ahead, but both of them as flex options. Green Bay, Jacksonville. On the Green Bay side, pretty straightforward, using Jordan Love. Tucker Kraft still streamable. Jaden Reed is the top option. Romeo Doubs is the next option. And I don't want to use anything else. And obviously Josh Jacobs we can keep rolling with. To the other side is a little more complicated, because I actually really like what I've seen out of Trevor Lawrence the last couple weeks. It's not amazing for fantasy, but it's encouraging. And a lot of that has to do with the emergence of Brian Thomas Jr. He's been awesome. He's well ahead of Christian Kirk in the pecking order. And so really, like, in the passing game, if I was to look at my priorities, it's Brian Thomas first, Evan Ingram probably second. And then if I can get away with not using Christian Kirk, then I'm not going to use him. I have zero shares of Christian Kirk in redraft this year. And that was really by design. I don't like drafting players like Christian Kirk, to be honest with you, because he is one of those decent floor but low ceiling guys. And I want to draft for ceiling. So usually I fade players like him. But if you're sitting with him right now and you could unload him, go for it. I would not be going out and trying to, like, he's not a buy low or anything like that. As for the backfield, it looks like ETN will be back, but we're not quite out of the woods with his injury. So he went limited with a hamstring. He could, in theory, be limited all week and still not play. So we have to wait and see to what practice reports say today. Maybe you've already seen them since, you know, I recorded this and you're listening to it in the future. But either way, here's how I'm viewing it if he plays. Tank Bigsby is the better early down guy. Tank Bigsby is the better fantasy play. It sucks, but it's true for Travis Etienne managers. So Bigsby will be a flex. Etienne probably still a flex as well, but that's the problem is they cannibalize off of each other, and we're not going to get those big Bigsby games unless Etienne is not playing, which sucks, but that's where we are. Indianapolis and Houston, Anthony Richardson, he hasn't hit. He's on pace to potentially have the worst completion rate since Tim Tebow in 2011 when Tim Tebow was below 50%. Wow. It's not good. I mean, you can't use Richardson right now. He's not even a buy low for me because somebody was like, oh, would you buy low? No, I would not. It really makes it difficult to use Pittman and Downs, but I guess they're flexes. But here's the good news. So the report out there is Jonathan Taylor is tracking very well to play against the Texans. I'm going to tell you this flat out. He's going to play. He's going to play. So he'll be back out there, and he is an RB2 option. He doesn't benefit from Richardson as well, but at least you can use him as an RB2. If you had Trey Sermon, you can definitely drop him. And I don't even know the merits to carrying Goodson either at this point. CJ Stroud, I expect to bounce back. I expect Diggs and Dell to be busy. And Joe Mixon has been, in the three games he has played, he has been elite on the football field. 100.5 rushing yards per game. It's pretty excellent. Pretty excellent stuff. So he's one of the best plays of the week. New Orleans and the Chargers. This one's just straight up ugly. Like on the New Orleans side, okay, so Rattler's going to start again. I guess we can still use, because Chris Olave is going to play. At least we have that going for us. But where do we use Olave? I mean, Moore's a wide receiver three. It's boom or bust with Rattler out there. Like you can still use him, but it's not great. Alvin Kamara playing through a broken hand. And Rattler's out there. So he's more of like, I guess he's still a back end RB1, but he's no longer in that elite conversation he was earlier in the season. On the other side, I don't even know what's going on with the wide receivers for the Chargers because you have DJ Chark trying to get this dude off of IR, but he's not yet. You have Quentin Johnston banged up. You have Ladd McConkey banged up. Neither of those guys have practiced so far this week. So Josh Palmer, and I'm not getting cute there. For me, the answer here, and ideally this is how this game works out in my head, especially because I'm streaming the Chargers in a few places. The Chargers hold Rattler in check. They pound a ball on the ground. J.K. Dobbins has a decent day. Maybe there's a defensive score, and this ends up being like a 17-3 type of game. Like something like that is what I'm seeing in my head. And so J.K. Dobbins is really the only good play this week. Buffalo, Seattle, Josh Allen. It helped having Amari Cooper out there. There's no denying it. He had the season high 323 passing yards last week. I expect more Amari Cooper this week. I'm not going overboard yet. Famous last words. He's still more of a fringe wide receiver too. I hope we see a full workload, in which case, like, there's very much top 15 appeal to him once he's fully integrated. I just can't guarantee that happens this week. Be careful with Keon Coleman. He's giving me some Gabe Davis vibes of like boom or bust. Last week was boom, but most of the games have been bust. James Cook. Okay, so I know some people are concerned about Ray Davis. Ray Davis is going to have a role. He earned that role. There's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, the one major concern, and we don't know if we're there yet, is if Ray Davis starts taking the goal line work away from Cook, kind of like how Latavius Murray did last year. But I'm not going to go that far. Now, James Cook's outlook is a little bit lower than it was earlier in the year, but he's still an RB2 play. Moving on to Seattle, keeping an eye on DK. I do not have a practice report for today. The prognosis is not necessarily very good. If you see DNP and he is listed as questionable, plan for him to not play. If you see limited, actually plan for him to play. So, but, you know, always have a plan for the worst. His presence or lack thereof will impact Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith is fine as a front-end QB2. I could see streaming him if DK plays. Otherwise, if DK doesn't play, then this is a good spot for Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Tyler Lockett. I would prefer Smith-Njigba, but both of them would very likely be in the wide receiver two conversation. Kenneth Walker, illness, practiced through it yesterday, should be back out there. I keep saying this about Zach Charbonnet. He's one of the highest value handcuffs out there. So if you have Walker, you should have Charbonnet. If you don't have Charbonnet, don't go trade for him, because the person who has Charbonnet is eventually going to drop him. So you could just pick him up then. Carolina, Denver, not a ton to this one. We did hear Deontay Johnson's not going to play. There's nothing I like in the passing game for the Carolina Panthers because Bryce Young will be starting. Don't get cute with Xavier Leggett. Chuba Hubbard is okay. The quarterback situation hurts him as well, so he's more of an RB2 play. I actually really love Bo Nix on the other side. Bo Nix is a top 10 option. Well, this is where we are. Bo Nix ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes. This is the new reality for us here. But it's the dual threat ability. It's the matchup. And, you know, Javonte Williams should also benefit from the matchup as well. He is a top 20 play. I don't want to use the wide receivers if I can get away with it in season long. I don't mind Devon Vele. I don't mind Torrey Franklin in DFS. And we'll see what happens with Courtland Sutton. Technically, he's the best option. But even there, like, do we feel that confident over Courtland Sutton as a flex option? Probably not. But in theory, it's a good matchup. Kansas City and the Raiders. So Mahomes moves back into back end. Like, yes, Bo Nix is ahead of him, but only by two spots. So whatever. Don't get cute if you have Patrick Mahomes. Again, much like the Laporta conversation, write a note for yourself for next year to really reconsider your quarterback draft strategy. I will have that strategy for you. It won't change much from this year. Like, safe and upside really is a tried and true method for me. And I'll explain it again, how we use it, why we don't go quarterback early in onesie leagues, like one QB leagues, and so on. But just use Mahomes. Like, don't drop Mahomes for Bo Nix. Like, if you're thinking about not using Mahomes, it's not go and pick up a guy who's ranked higher. It's pick up a guy who's ranked higher and drop Mahomes. And if you don't feel comfortable doing that, you should probably use Mahomes. So Mahomes, 6 passing touchdowns, 8 interceptions. However, DeAndre Hopkins, and this will help things. I don't think Hopkins is toast, and you know me, I'm the first person to tell you when I think a player is toast. I don't think he's toast. I don't know how much he's used here, though, so I don't want to use Hopkins, but I am a little bit more confident in Mahomes. I am a little bit more confident in Travis Kelce as well, who should benefit from Hopkins being out there. So rising tide here a little bit, but this one is a Kareem Hunt game. I'm not impressed with Kareem Hunt's play, but this isn't a beauty contest. Like, if he's going to get 20 plus carries, fine. Now, quick word to the wise. This was 6 weeks into the Isaiah Pacheco injury. And if you remember, that timetable was 6 to 8 weeks initially. I thought 8 to 12 weeks is more reasonable. So there's a real scenario where they open up his window next week and then he returns the following week. Keep that in mind if you have Kareem Hunt. Now is the time to sell high. On the other side, Brock Bowers is really it. Maybe Alexander Mattison because it's a lot of volume, but that's it. Again, it's not a beauty contest. Chicago, Washington does not look like we're going to have Jaden Daniels. Be careful here. He may go down as a limited practice, but there is a lot of pessimism that for him to play. So it's very likely Marcus Mariota. Have a plan in place if you have Jaden Daniels. Mariota doesn't bring McLaurin down that much. And same thing with Brian Robinson. They're still very usable. To the other side, Caleb Williams is a top 10 option. I like DJ Moore, obviously, the most. And I would love to say Rome Odunze next, but it still is Keenan Allen. He just doesn't have a very high ceiling. And DeAndre Swift was rolling. So love that right there. Dallas, San Francisco. All right. So on the Dallas side of this contest, the player I've probably gotten the most questions about this week, which is really surprising to me, is Dak Prescott. So Dak Prescott is not an every week lock him in starter. And there aren't a lot of those guys at quarterback. At quarterback, it's Lamar, Josh. I call him Josh now. I think he's in that conversation though. Like, you can just say Lamar, everybody knows. You could say Josh, and I think everybody knows. Nobody's gonna be like Rosen. So Lamar, Josh, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, Burrow. Stroud is close. And then Jaden Daniels is not close. He would be if he's not hurt. Otherwise, we're dealing with streamers. And he was on bye last week. So a lot of people carried him through bye. They wasted a bench spot when they could have just dropped him for whoever. And then you move on to the next thing. We're in streamer territory with Dak Prescott. And I realize he caught fire down the stretch last year, and that'll happen sometimes with streamers. Streamers can go from a streamer to an every week starter, or they can go from a guy who you draft in the late rounds to an every week starter like Jaden Daniels. Like, that can happen, and things change quickly in the NFL. But for right now, I don't have much confidence in him. I mean, I'm still going to use CeeDee Lamb, and really from there, I mean, Rico Dowdle is a flex. Otherwise, it's pretty ugly. So just be aware of that. Quarterback 19 for me for Dak Prescott. You said Dak Prescott or Bo Nix. I would drop Dak Prescott for Bo Nix. I would. You don't have to, because remember, this show, I mean, it's for you, but it's not actually about you. Largely, selfishly, it's about me and what I would do. I know it's stupid, but I'm never going to tell you what to do. I'm only going to tell you how I navigate the situation, and then you can take it from there. Like, if you really don't want to drop him, don't drop him. But I don't see the point of rostering him and then going and picking somebody else up to start ahead of him. Like, that's a waste of a bench spot if you're not confident enough to use him. Like, really, with any quarterback, if that quarterback is, you know, good enough, then you're confident to use him in every situation. And that's obviously not the case with Dak Prescott. So moving on, Brock Purdy lost some weapons. Obviously, he will not have Brandon Ayuk the remainder of the season. Juwan Jennings looks unlikely to play. So that leaves us with Debo, who at least does look like he'll be back, and Kittle, who is going to play through injury and should be fine. So what happens from here? Well, those are the guys I'd lean on. If I picked up Juwan Jennings, fine. Hopefully people will drop him during their week 9 bye, so then we can re-scoop him up as well. But I don't want to get too cute with Ricky Pearsall here. Or anybody else. So this is really a Debo Kittle game with Jordan Mason doing his thing on the ground. As for Purdy, there's enough there to have him as a back end quarterback one. Like, he still has enough weapons, fortunately. Let's move on finally to Monday Night Football, Giants, Pittsburgh. On the Giants side, Daniel Jones, it's ugly, but I'm not fading Malik Nabers even in this matchup. He's still a wide receiver one. Tyrone Tracy outsnapped Devin Singletary 37-12 last week. Does that stick this week? It's a good question. I would use Tracy as a back-end flex play, obviously not using Singletary. And I had this advice earlier about Cincinnati, but this is the same thing here. I don't want both of these guys on my roster. If you have both Tracy and Singletary, pick one. I think the answer is obvious who you should pick, but I'll leave that to you. Pick one. Having both of them is only going to create problems. This is not a handcuff situation. This is a timeshare situation. Pick one. I think the answer is obvious. Russell Wilson, pretty darn good last week. Not amazing, but pretty darn good. And most importantly, he more effectively moved the offense than George Pickens. Pickens was a beast. He's a top 15 guy for me this week. All was right with the world. Russ is very usable in super flex. And heck, even Najee Harris, back-to-back 100-yard games for that guy? All right, I'll take it. He's a plotter, sure. But you know what? Two things. They can move the ball more effectively, so they give him more chances to potentially get to the goal line. And if they do get to the goal line, unlike with Justin Fields under center, you know Russ is not going to, you know, Russ is not going to run much. Like, yeah, maybe they'll have at the 1 yard line sneak like they did last week, but he's not running in from the 3. He's not running in from the 4. They're going to give Najee the ball there. So that's great. Justin Fields was running it in from the 3 or the 4 or the 5, right? So this is much better for Najee Harris. Even with Jaylen Warren back, his stock is trending up a little bit. He's still an RB2. Let's be clear about that. But I'll take it. Like, Najee Harris is quietly just decent. Like, he's not amazing. He's quietly just decent. And if you look over the course of his career, he has been quietly decent. Never misses games. You know, he just shows up. Lunch pail guy, does his job. All right, that's it for today. So in the meantime, FTMFantasy.com. Enjoy the weekend as well. This looks like it's going to be a good one. We'll be back at it. Halloween week coming at us this upcoming week. We got a game on Halloween. How about that? Oh, man, I can't wait to hear Thriller 5,000 times this week. I'm in on some of the new Halloween songs. Anyway, that does it for it. At Jeff Rackliff on Twitter, at Jeff Rackliff on Instagram. And I'm going to stop rambling now. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.